everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online, as we are in a brand new message series titled Promises, Promises. I don't know how long it took you, but over time, as a young boy, I learned that not everybody who makes a promise keeps a promise. In fact, my own younger brother, Jerry, he was always good at telling me, you know, hey, I would have no trouble keeping your secrets. You know, it is locked with me. No problem, Bob. I won't tell anybody. So, you know, I'd confide in him that, you know, maybe you see that new girl that's moved in down the street down there? I think, you know, I kind of like her and have been talking to her a little bit. And, you know, no sooner he'd say, no problem, Bob. It's good with me. No sooner than he'd gone inside to get a glass of water or something, and pretty soon my mother would be asking me about my new girlfriend down the street. Jerry, what? You know, and he would say, well, you know, Mom, she just gets things out of me. And I'd say, yeah, I'm sure you offered it up. Just, you know, not everybody who makes a promise keeps a promise. A couple of years ago, the mayor of North Platte, Nebraska, Jim Whitaker, made quite a shocking promise. He promised, get this, to walk naked through town if the local Humane Society fundraiser brought in $5,000. Well, as you can imagine, the $5,000 came in. And so Jim Whitaker kept his promise. However, when Whitaker stepped out to do the deed in view of the public, he wasn't unclothed. Naked, it turned out, was the name of a dog who had been rescued by the local Humane Society. And so Naked walked beside him on a leash as he went through town. Not everybody who makes a promise keeps a promise in the way we think. Hello? Promises from people don't always turn out the way we anticipated, but promises from God are different. Amen? Because God is different. The promises of God are a tremendous gift, if you're following along in your outline, a tremendous resource. These precious promises we find contained in the scriptures, handed down through the ages by people of God, can be a tremendous source of direction and encouragement, a source of truth and insight, a source of comfort and stability in our lives. When I was younger, I didn't understand how vital a resource this gift of God's promises could be. But I've come to have a greater appreciation for the wisdom and power of God's word with each passing year. And yet, here's the thing. We have to act on God's promises. We have to avail ourselves of God's truth. We have to open our hearts and our minds to what God has made available to us. We have to act upon God's word by faith in order for it to have full impact in our lives. It's like receiving a wrapped gift, you know. You get a gift, it's got the bow on it, it's got your name on it, and it's there for you. But you don't really experience the power of that gift, the impact of that gift, until you finally say, well, I'm going to open it up. I'm going to open it up. Today I want to talk about the power of trusting God's promises. And of course, the decision to trust God with our life is huge. It's a huge decision, whatever stage of life we might be. So trust is a big decision facing the high school senior who is thinking about going to college and has to say, you know, what's my major going to be? I'm going to school. What am I going to study? I'm 18 and I got to have it figured out. Trust. Trust is a big decision facing the newly retired senior adult who still has plenty of meaningful life ahead and now has some new time to do some new things. Lord, what do you want me to do? It's the big decision facing the middle-aged person who is wondering what else to do in these, the prime years of my life. And the good news is, at any stage, you can know what to do with your life. You can know how to trust God with your life. Our text from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is one of those profound promises of God that provides us practical wisdom and direction for our life. Here's the first step in knowing what to do with your life. First of all, look to God completely. Completely. Proverbs 3, 5 says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The first step into knowing what to do with your life begins with trusting in God. You may be here today and you may say, I have no relationship with God, but I'm still wondering how I can discover, you know, the purpose for my life. Well, I have to be honest with you and tell you that from my perspective, you cannot discover your purpose in life. You cannot know what to do with your life until you do have a relationship with the living God. But don't take my word for it. Bertrand Russell, one of the most famous atheists who ever lived, said himself, this is what he said, unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. Unless there is a creator, and unless you are a creation of that creator, and unless that creator has a purpose for your life, then you can never discover what that purpose is until you have a relationship with that creator who can reveal that purpose to you. Andrei Bitov, a Russian novelist, grew up under atheism and communism. It was drilled into his head from the time he was born that there is no God. There is no God. One day he had an experience that radically changed his life. Here's what he said. In my 27th year, while riding the metro in Leningrad, which is now St. Petersburg, I was overcome with a despair so great that life seemed to stop at once, preempting the future entirely, let alone any meaning. Suddenly, all by itself, a phrase appeared. Without life, without God, life makes no sense. Without God, life makes no sense. He says, repeating it in astonishment, without God, life makes no sense. I rode the phrase up like a moving staircase. I got out of the metro and walked forever into God's light. That is exactly why King Solomon said, the first step that you have to take in order to find purpose for your life is to trust in the Lord with all your heart. So there are two parts to this deal of knowing what to do with your life. There is your part, there's our part, your part, God's part. God's part. Your part is to deal with, of the deal is first of all to trust. And I heard one man put it this way. He said, trust is a must. If you don't trust, you'll bust. Kind of like that. The word trust in the Hebrew language literally means to lie down upon or to stretch out on. So every night when you go to bed, you lie down on your mattress, you stretch out on it, you put the full weight of it on the mattress and you trust that, hey, this mattress is it's gonna hold me up. When you go to bed, Last night, did you keep one foot on the floor and one foot in the bed? No. Did you have half of your body on the bed and half of your body off? No. You just stretched all of your body out on the bed and, you know, you trusted that's going to work out. If you didn't, if you just had half of your weight on the bed, you'll never get any rest. And it's the same way with God. You have to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You've got to put your entire heart into trusting God. You cannot halfway lie down on the bed. You cannot halfway trust in the living God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. A second practical principle from this promise of God is this: recognize the limits of your understanding. Recognize the limits of your understanding. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your what? Own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now that's often a stumbling block for us because we like our own understanding. Hello? We like it. We like to think that we've got it all figured out and that, you know, we are in control. And yet so often we don't have it figured out. Hello? And we are not in control. So the question is, can we leave some room for God? Are we able to recognize the limits of our understanding and acknowledge our need for God? The truth is, the vast majority of the time, God has already spoken. We can already know what God's thinking in many situations that we face is because He's already told us in His Word. The Bible is His compass to show us how to make good decisions and what those decisions might be. It is, you know, it's when we ignore the Bible that we get in trouble. So when you ignore God's word about dating or relationships or marriage, or when we ignore God's word about justice and righteousness and peace, or when we ignore what God's word says about idols or money or greed, that's when we get into all sorts of trouble. So I heard about an old sailor who repeatedly was getting lost out at sea. And so his friends, you know, they'd have to come and find him out there. And so finally they gave him a compass and they said, hey, next time you go out in your boat, you know, take this compass. We're getting tired of coming out to find you. But as usual, he goes out there. Yeah, he took the compass, but he gets lost again as well. And so they come, they find him, and they said, how did you get lost? I mean, why didn't you take the compass with you? He said, I took the compass. The compass wouldn't work. They said, what do you mean it doesn't work? He said, I wanted to go north, but as hard as I tried to make the needle aim in that direction, it just kept pointing southeast. Remember this: when the compass of God's word points in one direction and you choose to follow what you think or what you feel and you go any other way, you're headed for disaster. You and I, headed for disaster. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. A third step in trusting God is to follow God's counsel fully. Fully. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Again, God wants us all in. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Are we willing to give God the lead role in our lives? The word acknowledge here means to recognize, to see. Think of it this way: in all of your ways, recognize or see God. Simply put, in every part of your life, you and I are to be looking for God. You put every decision in these terms. What does He want? What does He desire? What would God want me to do? Always keep God in mind. So you acknowledge the Lord, you recognize the Lord, you look for the Lord in all your ways. So that means in your financial life, your social life, your family life, your work life, your recreational life, you acknowledge God, you recognize God, you say, I'm looking for God in these places. If you're a parent, you'll never teach your kids a more important lesson than how to look for God, how to see God, how to recognize God, how to acknowledge God as they make decisions. So what's the result of doing our part? So we got two parts. We do our part. What's the result of doing our part? We can expect God's guidance. That's God's part. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths what? Straight. The promise is that God will lead and guide you, that God will keep you on the right path, that God will use all of His resources to keep you moving in the right direction and provide all that you need. Now, I've been talking about the power of trusting God's promises. I'm going to invite Craig Jones to come and to share a little bit about his own journey in trusting God. Craig is married to Becky. They have three lovely daughters. Craig chairs our evangelism committee. He and I were in our first men's journey group together. Let's give Craig our attention as he shares. Craig?
Well, good morning, Christ Church, and thank you, Bob, for asking me to speak this morning. I'm excited. I got to speak in the first service this morning, but hey, this is my people right here. This is my gang, so I'm glad to be with you guys this morning. You know, Bob talked about the verses, you know, in Proverbs and talking about trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Not some of your heart, not most of your heart, but every bit of your heart. And in my vocation, I've learned how to do that. I've been forced to do that, sometimes kicking and screaming. But I find that if I trust the Lord with all of my heart, He is always faithful, isn't He? In my job, I'm in sales, and I know some of you are too, but I'm in straight commission. So what does that mean? That means what we eat, how I pay bills this month, depends on what Dad sells. So if I don't make the sale, you know, there's no safety net there. My wife doesn't work. We've been blessed for 20-something years that she's been a stay-home mom. So it was all, you know, riding on my shoulders. But I've learned to embrace that. I've learned to trust in the Lord. I've learned to know that He always will deliver. And 5 years ago, I realized that I was in a company that, you know, they were more interested in managing their retirement portfolios than they were about, you know, paying bills and feeding mouths. And it's okay to do that, but that wasn't where I was at in my journey. You know, I needed that motivation. I needed that excitement to go out and to be able to sell. So I approached my boss about buying that company. And for 6 long years, we negotiated. And after 6 years, I wasn't any closer to reaching a deal with him than the day we first started talking. So I realized, you know, this isn't going to happen. So I thought, you know, I'm going to go out. I'm going to start my own company. I can do this. I've been in sales for 30 years. I've been selling printing and promotional products for 30 years. I can do this on my own. So I incorporated. I went out and printed some business cards. I had my logo made. Professional printing and promotions is what I was going to be. I knew I could do this. Well, about 4 weeks before I was ready to give my notice, my wife, Becky, bless her heart, she said, are you doing this because Craig Jones wants to do this or because God's leading you to do this? Hit me right between the eyes, right there. I call it God's two befores. When He whacks you upside the head and says, I got something for you and you weren't paying attention. So I told her, I said, you know, I'm doing this because I want to. So it was a stop, drop, and pray moment for me right then and there. Because I realized that, you know, I needed God in the middle of this. If I was going to be successful at this, I needed God's help. I couldn't do this on my own. I was going to have to spend a lot of late nights doing my billing, you know, doing my paperwork, which I loathe paperwork, you know. I'm good at the sales part. I can make the sale, but that paperwork part, you know, that wasn't my thing. Well, I got a phone call from one of my vendors that knew I was going to do this, and he said, you know, I know you're getting ready to go live. You're going to go with your company that you're going to start, but I've got somebody I think you need to talk to. I said, okay, I'm open to anything at this point. So I called this guy that is the owner of US Print Consultants, and he said, you know, I need one more salesman to fill up my model, my business model. He said, I sell. I've got two other guys that sell. I need a third guy to cover my overhead and pay for my billing person. Well, my ears started to perk up. You know, he's got somebody that does billing full time. Well, that's good. He said, I've got a warehouse that you can store all your stuff in. Well, that was more interesting, you know, a place I could store. I was going to have to rent a storage place if I was going to do my own thing. He said, I've got a print shop that you can get your stuff printed at my company. I thought, well, that's really good. And then he said the thing that really floored me. He said, I only need 7% of your profit, and you can keep the other 93%. Wow. I was used to 50-50. That was the best I'd ever heard in my industry, was to split your profit 50-50 with the company. You keep half, and they take half. I thought, where do I sign? You know, I'm ready. So 5 years later, I'm with this company. It's been the biggest blessing that's ever been bestowed upon me, not just for finances, but for time. I've got more time now. I work out of my home. I don't have to report to the office except once a week. So I've got more time to spend with my family, with my church, with God. I mean, it's allowed me to be, you know, head of the evangelism committee here. I couldn't have done that when I was working for the other guys. So it's opened so many doors. It's allowed us to tithe. We can tithe like we couldn't before. So it's been such a blessing to me. And it's all because I let go and I let God. That's the back of my business card. That's not a shameless plug to say I'm a Christian, do business with me. It's an opportunity to testify and tell the story that I just told you. Three times this past month, that has opened up a conversation where they asked the question, what does this mean? And I've been able to give my story because of that. That's what it's all about. It's about accepting the Lord as your, you know, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but taking that and passing that torch to somebody else. We need to look for that opportunity every time, in every place, in everything we do, not just on Sunday morning. So God has blessed me in so many ways. My family, my oldest daughter's back there, Amanda. I'm in. I've got two girls graduating this week, one from college, one from high school, and that one back there is married. So God just takes care of us in so many special ways. If we just let go and let God, don't try to do it our way, but look for His way in everything we do. God bless you. Let go and let God. Thank you, brother.
All right. I love it. Thank you, Craig. And that is so simple and yet so profound. We've been talking about trust. What a great way to say it. Let go and let God. And, you know, Craig and Becky have three daughters, and Kathy and I have three daughters. And so we've kind of had a special friendship journeying these stages of life together. And so thrilling to hear Craig talk about how God has blessed him as he's continued to learn to grow in what this means, trusting God. So here's a big picture takeaway from the message. When you put God in His rightful place, when you let go and let God, then He will put you in the right place as well. Hello? When you trust Him, trust in the Lord with all your heart. When you trust Him, not yourself, and when you lean on Him and not on your own understanding, your own thoughts or feelings or ideas, when you acknowledge Him in all your ways, I'm going to trust You, Lord. I'm going to lean not on my understanding. I'm going to acknowledge You in all of my ways. Then He will guide and He will direct you and He will show you what He wants you to do at this stage in your life. Remember this. Our decision to trust God begins a great adventure. You ask anybody, you younger people, you find somebody who's an older saint who's been spending a lifetime trusting in God, and you ask them about it, and I'm going to tell you, they will say, it has been a great adventure. It has been a great adventure. Doesn't mean that there aren't, you know, yeah, there's mountaintops. Doesn't mean that there aren't valleys. Means that, you know, it's an adventure. It means that you get up every morning, you're full of life. Sometimes, you know, you're full of life because you're scared to death because of this circumstance or that. But then, in the middle of it, you say, okay, God, once again, I'm going to trust in you. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge you in my ways, all my ways, and I'm going to ask you to lead, to guide, and direct. And it's amazing how he does it. So don't miss out on that, the great adventure. Don't let God's adventure pass you by. But let those words sink deep, deep in your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious Master, Almighty Deliverer, Holy Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for the tremendous gift of your many and precious promises. They are an amazing source of direction and encouragement, a source of truth and insight, a source of power and impact on our lives. Lord, we are grateful for the relationship that we have with you through our faith in your Son, Jesus. He is the one who has given us this new life, this new standing, this new authority. And so, we choose to love and to follow him. Lord, help us to let this promise from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 enable us to truly trust you. Let it ring loud in our ears as we learn to let it speak to us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the ways that you have done that in our lives. We thank you for the ways that you have done that in Craig Jones's life, as he shared earlier. And, Lord, we thank you for the ways that you want to continue to do that in us, this great adventure. We thank you for your precious promises. Enable us, Lord, to hear again your call to trust, to believe, to obey. Lord, enable us to trust you more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,